This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. Yesterday, San Antonio reported its largest one-day increase of coronavirus cases since the start of the pandemic, 1,268 new infections. If alarm bells weren't ringing before, they should be now. There are serious concerns that COVID is out of control and that we could have entered a new phase of the pandemic. And this is the phase that we tried to avoid all along with the talk of flattening the curve. There are signs that regional hospitals could soon be overwhelmed if they aren't already. We're joined by Dr. Ruth Bergeron for the latest. Dr. Bergeron is an infectious disease specialist and director of the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics at the UT Health San Antonio. And Dr. Bergeron, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me on.
Sorry that it's got to be this dire. It is grim.
Yes, we wish we had better news. We weren't expecting to go this way because early on we were so successful as a city in flattening the curve, but our healthcare system is very stressed today.
We do have a voicemail. Let's get to that.
Hello, my name is James, and I was just wondering, whenever I see the city of San Antonio release new COVID-19 cases, then I go to the social media sites and people say, well, that's just because it's a backlog. It doesn't mean that's today's numbers. But to me, that sounds like if that's a backlog, it's probably even worse than it is now today. Would that be accurate? Thanks.
So, Dr. Bergeron?
Right. So yesterday's 1,268 new cases were specifically not a backlog. And we have that from the mouth of Dr. Colleen Bridgers, who is our Metropolitan Health Director at this time. So while there have been times in the past where we've seen a delay in reporting, you know, we've gotten some of those glitches out, and that number was a real number. It does also reflect increased testing, but you have to factor in that we're seeing a far higher percent of the people being tested as positive compared with previous. And it seems that the trend right now is that mainly it's people with symptoms coming to get tested. That's the message we're putting out. So these people are symptomatic people.
Testing, I do hear that it's difficult to get a test. It's a long wait. That's still an obstacle for many.
Right. Well, there's a updated website, covid19.sanantonio.gov, which is very navigable. It's been getting improved on a daily basis. And you can go to that website and easily identify where you click to learn where the sites for testing are. And it does change day to day what the availability is, but we're not yet at a point where people can't get tested.
Now there's a cheek swab test, and you no longer have to do a nasal swab, which looks pretty severe?
So there's a couple of different ways of people getting the test. I think that most of us are still of the opinion that the nasopharyngeal swab is the most reliable, but there is validity to these others, and if they're positive, they help you. If they're negative, you don't really know what's going on. And I think the most important message I can bring to this conversation and to that question is that even under the best of circumstances with the best possible test, you're still looking at potentially a 20% false negative rate. So if you test too early after your exposure, or if you test too late in the course of your illness, you may have a false negative test.
So the 1,268 new cases marked a 60% increase over the previous one-day high of 795, which was set on Saturday. This is a trend that is outright horrifying.
Yes. And you know, we also look at the trend of increases in patients in our hospitals, and we have been seeing consistently since at least the 24th of June, every single day, it's been 10% to even 19% increase in the number of cases from the day before. So if you increase on average 10% per day, you have a doubling every 7 days. And our hospitals are nearly at capacity right now. That means a week from now, if we haven't flattened the curve, will be double what is our existing capacity.
But there are individual hospitals that are at capacity right now, correct?
Yes, and you know, those are specific questions for corporate communications at different hospitals. Everybody is doing what they can to open up new beds. Folks who don't need to be in the hospital are being discharged to long-term care facilities. A lot of the long-term care facilities are stepping up to accommodate hospital overflow and even some facilities taking COVID patients. We're being creative. We are using post-surgical acute care units for COVID patients and trying as best we can to care for our patients inside the brick-and-mortar hospital walls, which is the best place to take care of them, before we'd have to spill out over into a new facility or alternative facility such as the Freeman Coliseum.
Dr. Fauci, testifying yesterday, warns that the United States could see 100,000 infections daily. So this is not just a local issue. This is happening in Florida, Arizona, Alabama, Georgia. It's happening.
It sure is. And here in San Antonio, I'm part of a community response coalition. We have an education work group, and we are launching an initiative now to prevent, protect, and provide for COVID-19. And we're just really going to try to blitz the media with these messages about staying home, creating a closed social bubble, wearing the mask, distancing, washing hands. Everybody knows about those three. And then finally, we're promoting the idea of covering up for COVID. Just always wear a mask when you're in public over your nose and mouth, and wash your cloth masks every day.
We are going to have the 4th of July celebration this weekend. This, if it's not done well, is just another opportunity for COVID to get hold of more people. How do you want people to mark the Independence Day holiday?
Well, I'd like to remind everybody that American spirit means looking out for each other. And we look out for each other by wearing a mask and do not gather in large crowds. Going outdoors, generally speaking, is a good thing to do, but what you do outdoors will determine whether it's a good outcome or not. So if you're outdoors, still stay away from people, keep that 6-foot distance. Always bring your mask with you, even if you are going outside, because if you find that it's not easy to stay 6 feet away from others, you really have to put that mask on.
But people typically have family celebrations. They get together, the whole family comes together and get in and have a big barbecue. And would you recommend people maybe this year keep it small? Do your backyard barbecue for the people already in your household.
Absolutely. That's why we're recommending that people create a closed social bubble. Identify and talk to your close family members. What is the small, exclusive group of people that we can be near? And unfortunately, that will mean leaving some of your family and your loved ones out, but the people who live under one roof can be that closed social bubble, and that's the bubble that can have the barbecue in the backyard. But you can't invite the neighbor, and you can't invite somebody from another household. This is the time to show how much we care about each other by protecting one another.
Okay. So Dr. Ruth Berggren, thank you so much for joining us. Infectious Disease Specialist, Director of the Center for Medical Humanities and Ethics at UT Health San Antonio, giving us an update on hospital capacity and COVID numbers. Keep people safe on the 4th of July. When we come back from the break, we're going to be joined by Colin Woodard. He is the author of the book Union, The Struggle to Forge the Story of United States Nationhood. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us.